As we go to the communion table today, that is the table of the Lord, that is also known as the table of grace, I want to take us to that passage where a teacher of God's word communicates something, and there may be other places, but in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul busy pastor, busy missionary that he was, gives us a glimpse into this table we call the Lord's Supper or the communion table. He says, And this is going to be a little lengthier communion because this most wonderful expression of faith has been abused in the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't want to talk about its abuses, but I want to put the positive expression on it today. Paul says in the 23rd verse of the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." Now there he's quoting Jesus. Now he attempts to give us some insight into this wonderful expression of faith. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You put on display, you exhibit, you declare what Jesus has done. In doing so," he says, "wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," it's an adverb, it modifies a verb, that is the manner of partaking, "this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." That's a heavy statement. And it's been used to scare God's children to even, if you will, prohibit God's children from participating in this wonderful expression of faith. And it is done through a lack of understanding, through a lack of discernment on this next verse, translated in the English, but let a man examine himself. The word in the Greek is dokamizo. I'm not trying to make Greek speakers out of any of you, but to properly understand, to properly discern, we need to look at that word. That word means to test, to prove, to scrutinize, to see whether a thing is genuine or not. As metals, to recognize a thing as genuine after examination, and to, after examination, to approve, to deem worthy. As I was doing my study in Romans chapter 5, that fourth verse where it says, and, you know, start at the third, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You've got the right translation in the teaching, in the previous teaching. Worketh patience, and patience experience. The word in 1 Corinthians 11 is dokamizo. The word in Romans is dokima. They come from the same root, the root word being dokio, which, now, you know, if you want to go and check me out using a concordance, the root word dokio, it means to think, to seem, to suppose. This word in Romans is, that's Strong's 1380. This word in Romans is Strong's 1382. It means a proof, an experience, an experiment, a proving, a trial, a proof, a specimen of tried worth. I've given you Strong's 1384 dokamizo, which means to recognize as genuine after examination. There is that which one thinks, that which one has had some experience in, and that which one has come to understand as genuine, it's not talking about examining ourselves. It's talking about in the remembrance of Jesus, whether he was genuine or not. I want to digress for a minute. So I sit every day out of my patio, looking out onto a lawn and a very large ficus tree. In the last several days, there's a dove that has been building a nest in that tree. And I don't know whether it's a he or she, I don't know who builds it. But here's the picture. It comes down onto the lawn and it picks after little twigs. And it picks one up and it drops it, picks another one up and it drops it, picks another one up. And it keeps that and it flies up into the tree and it's up there for a few minutes. And then it comes down again and it starts going through the same process, picks up this twig, picks up that twig and drops them. And it is persistent in pursuing things necessary to build its nest. And when it finally picks one up and God is amazing, it's testing these twigs. And when it finally picks one up that can be used, it flies back to the nest and continues building, if you will, its house. But not every twig passes the test. And the picture of testing, of scrutinizing, of recognition of what's going to be a benefit to her, true benefit, now said, it's probably a female dove. It finds that solid thing. And it goes about. Using it confidently that eventually she may rest upon it. As Christians, when we come to this table, we are to focus our attention on one thing. That focus brought about by the elements at this table, the cup of wine and the broken bread, which are only symbols to draw our minds to the substance of these symbols, which is Jesus Christ. Who he was and what he did for us. That's why these elements always should be taken with understanding, with that which God has declared with regard to his Son. Scripture says that we are cleansed from our sins by the blood of Christ. I'm advancing our teaching on Romans a little bit. There is this phrase in the 18th verse of the 6th chapter of Romans. It says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And what a deeper understanding of what it says is, being then made free from sin, it doesn't say that while we're in this body, we're not going to sin. It says that we're made exempt from the liability of sin, because the liability of sin, as well as the sin itself, was laid on Christ. It says earlier, as we taught in the 5th chapter, that Christ died for the ungodly. If you can see this, and having heard the word and came to some conclusion after examining the testimony that we have of Christ Jesus, and have deemed that he is worthy, then partake. Take the cup. An act of faith, not of an examination of yourself, but of an examination of him. The same likewise with the bread. It's God's nature to heal. The first activity given to the name Jehovah in Scripture is Jehovah Rapha. I'm the Lord that healeth. When God manifest himself in the flesh in Jesus of Nazareth, he went about healing all that he came upon. He didn't do it to show himself off. He did it because it was his nature. And that wonderful picture given in Isaiah 53 tells us the source of all our healing, which was by what Jesus did for us. We remember that declaration made of Christ, wherein Isaiah says, with his stripes we were healed. That being a promise of God, and the whole God school is designed to show off God's faithfulness, that is, that he does what he says, and this table is the opportunity for an expression of that faith. And after having examined the evidence, we discern, we understand, yay! In Christ have I been made exempt from the liability of sin. In Christ, the testimony is, he took upon himself not only our sins, but all our sicknesses, infirmities, and diseases. And with examination, we rest. We take these elements, resting on the remembrance of Jesus and what he has done. And we take the bread and we thank God in Christ for healing us. Well, Don, you say, I'm sick. I'm sick unto death. It is an eternal God by whom we are called, and God has all eternity to work it out. What he's looking for from us is faith, and gives us the opportunity at this table wherein we do declare with our mouth, with his stripes. Make it personal. I was healed. And by Jesus Christ, who is worthy, we take this cup, thanking him for his grace unto us, who has made us free, that is, exempt from the liability of sin. We take this cup, giving all glory to him who we remember at this table, that is, Jesus Christ. Great is his grace. Great is he. And we take this cup with thanksgiving that he is causing us to begin to know Him, and that through His Word. Take the cup in Jesus. Amen.